What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another KO Breakdown here on the Playmaker Podcast Network. I am your host, the Fighting Analyst, Garrett Kerman. With me, as always, is Joe Danger himself, Jesse Hobson. What's up, man? How's it going?
Oh, I got a little workout in earlier. I just got back from Glory Hole MMA. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's really weird. We started making, like, I don't know. It's like our gym got, like, funded overnight or something. And so we have like this first class establishment, and all it's weird. All the analysts hang out over here, and then you got what's his name, Jeff Molina. That guy he complains after every win. It's a good place to be. Glory Hole MMA, check it out.
Oh man, there's so much speculation going around with Glory MMA these days. I'm not really going to speculate anything, even though I kind of have a little bit, just a smidge. Going in with the debacle of Derek Minner and Shaolin Norden Becca and that last fight.
Hey, if you want to speculate, you can speculate somewhere else. Okay.
Just like they do in their, in their Discord chat. What's up, Thomas? Welcome to the show. Hello guys. Thanks for the advice last week. Won that plus 2.5 rounds on D-Rod and Magny. You are welcome, sir. I thought that was a pretty good bet there, so good job. Kudos. I'm glad you make some money and put it into your pocket. As far as last week goes, we hit on all cylinders. Mario Bautista absolutely mauled like we expected him to. Tiger. Ulanbekov. Sorry, I'm trying. I'm trying here, guys. Ulanbekov went in there, got the job done early. That was impressive. I forgot who else I had.
I got a call from my coach about a bet to place right before it happened.
Was that some insider information that you got?
No, not at all. My family members didn't place bets for me or anything. So if you're going to speculate, Garrett, speculate somewhere else. Not here at Glory Hole MMA.
All right. Let's get the show going. Man, UFC 281 on tap. 14 fight pay-per-view live at the Mecca, Madison Square Garden. I'm so looking forward to this fight. It's headlined by Israel Adesanya taking on familiar foe Alex Pereira. And then you got in the co-main event, Zhang Weili looking to come up and try to win her belt back against Carla Esparza. Then you got Michael Chandler taking on Dustin Poirier. This one's going to be for the record books. This is going to be a barn burner of a fight card, and I'm looking forward to breaking it down, putting money into your pocket. So let's get right to it. First fight up in the prelims, we got a fight in the light heavyweight division with Carlos Olberg and Nikolai Negamirano. Right now, the line. So guys, I gotta get this up. I thought I had it up. Take it a little bit.
Amateur.
What the fuck is that? Man? I know. These amateur types, hour these, here, guys.
These types of things don't happen. Glory Hole MMA.
No, they don't. You know, they're on point. They're on point at Glory Hole MMA. All right. Right now, Olberg minus 130 and the comeback on Nikolai plus 110. Don't want to keep saying that last name because I feel like I'm going to say something I shouldn't have.
Whatever.
who do you got?
So, yeah, you got Olberg in this one. It's nice that the UFC is letting the gays fight. Pretty close fight to call. But being around Izzy, you know, again, it's again really nice that they're letting the gays fight. I think Olberg has steadily improved. Both guys have good wins over lackluster competition. Sorry, Tefan. And while I think Nikolai, that's what I'm going to call him, is decent competition, I think Olberg has the pace and style to get this done. Nikolai has never been finished, so I think playing Olberg by decision and or the money line is a smart play here. Both guys are tough, and a lot of questions will be answered. I like Olberg straight up. I like Olberg by decision, and I like the over 1.5. So, I mean, there's a lot of plays to be made here. You can kind of pick and choose. You know, I think the over 1.5 is very safe, so maybe play that one and then take your winnings and put those on Olberg money line and then have yourself a little fiesta, if you will.
A little fiesta. What's up, Forrest? Welcome back to the show. Last weekend, he made a ton of money, just like us. We had a great time. Great easy night, and that's what we like. We like easy nights. What's up, Abimail? Appreciate you joining us here. Oh, we're about to get an ugly ass win. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, Nikolai
aren't they all
right? Nikolai is one to really make it an ugly fight, so I kind of understand that notion. As far as this fight goes, I think Olberg is definitely the far better striker. There's no ounce of a chance that Nikolai could possibly win this fight on the feet for long extended periods of time. It's just not going to happen. He has to utilize his plus wrestling and his grappling abilities like he has in his last couple of fights. But the thing is, I just don't think he's that good there. I think Olberg has gotten better. I think he knows that Nikolai has to take him down. He's the far bigger, far stronger fighter as well. And Olberg's going to fuck him up on the feet, like, bad. I think he's going to fuck him up bad on the feet. If he can knock out Tofan and Chukwi as easy as he did with just, like, a jab, he could definitely do it the same against Nikolai, who literally eats punches to come forward and try to get into the clinch. And he's much bigger and much longer, so it's going to be a lot harder to do. Just like in the Kennedy fight, he had troubles getting and closing the distance. Granted, he won a very egregious decision there, but I don't expect that here because Olberg's going to put a hurting on him, and I just don't think Nikolai's a really good fighter. I mean, he's a guy that's been outstruck in, I'm pretty sure, every single one of his fights in the UFC thus far, other than I think the one time he got a knockout. Other than that, he's been outstruck by everybody. Even his last opponent was outstriking him on the feet. So give me Olberg here. I like his price at -130. He gets the job done. Moving on, we got a fight in the bantamweight division between Montel Jackson and Julio Arce. Mm. Right now, Jackson -210 to come back on Arce +170. Who do you got?
Yeah, another interesting matchup here. Jackson has seemed checked out for some time. And while he does have two back-to-back wins, I think Arce is the side here. He is smaller, but he does push the pace. And if this goes the distance, I think that'll be what the judges are looking at. Jackson is slow and just seems less motivated overall. Less motivated more now than ever. He nearly got beat by Cheyenne Baez's ex-lover. And Arce should take advantage of that and capture the win here. I'll take the plus money all day. I feel like this is a coin flip, or not really a coin flip. I feel like those odds are a gift. You know, I've said that in the past, but that is outrageous to me. So I'm going to take the money line, and I also like Arce by decision as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why the line is where it's at. I guess they're still giving Jackson a lot of love because, you know, he's got physical gifts that you just don't see at bantamweight. He's massively huge. He's got power. He's got decent wrestling and grappling abilities. He's got extremely long limbs. It's hard to beat a guy like that. But come in Julio Arce, who is a Golden Gloves boxing champion. He's fought the who's who at 145 and 135. He's fought elite competition. He's been active. And what the hell's Montel Jackson been doing all this time? We don't know because he's like MIA on social media, so you can't really tell what the fuck he's doing. All I've seen is that he's at the clubs, he's doing music videos, he's chilling with his homies. I don't know how invested he really is in fighting game. He had so much promise, and yeah, Now he's just fighting every so often, and I feel like that's going to be a downfall here. So give me Arce as an underdog. I don't fathom playing Jackson at this price. Could he go in there and starch Arce? Of course he can. But at this price, that's not a give me. It really isn't. And I think Arce is the better striker of the two. Jackson definitely has the power advantage. But if we're talking about skill for skill, Arce is a better striker. So it's going to come down to if he can defend takedowns, get back up, and just outwork Jackson, which I think he can. And at plus 170, I think we're getting a good value here. All right, moving on. We got a fight in the featherweight division between Sungwoo Choi and Michael Trezano. Right now, Choi minus 170 to come back on Trezano plus 145. Who do you got?
Yeah, before we jump into this one, Thomas is saying he's with us on the Arce pick. And it's one of those fights too where I would pick Arce even if he was the favorite. So it's like I almost want to double down on him being the dog. So just take that for what it's worth. But moving on to this one here, I really don't know what to think about this matchup. You know, Choi is, I'm starting to realize he's definitely, oh, BTS. Well, I think Choi is overrated. The more we get to know him, the more I kind of realize he's not what a lot of people thought he was. And Trezano, you know, he's Trezano. Choi has all of the advantages in this one, but in every fight, he has moments where he just looks lost. Like he doesn't even realize that he's in a fight. It could just be the Asian thing, as they all look lost from time to time, you know, especially behind the wheel of an automobile. But he should win this fight. Here's the thing, though. Trezano is crafty, so I wouldn't count him out. I'm definitely leaning Choi, but I wouldn't be surprised if Trezano kind of is sneaky and finds a way to get his hand raised as well. I like Choi by decision.
Death, taxes, and fade the fuck out of Mike Trezano. That that is my game plan. Always been the game plan since he's coming to the UFC from Ultimate Fighter all the way up to where he's at now. It's worked well, and then it hasn't worked well in times, but I'm keeping up with the trends. I just have not been a fan of Trezano's style.
But he wears a cowboy hat to the weigh-ins, yeah. Man. That's cool.
Sure. That's cool.
Like 2007.
I don't know, man. He's okay fighter. I don't think he's UFC caliber. And he kind of showed in his last two fights, showed that he was outstruck severely in both fights. He got knocked out in his last fight. Against Almeida, who is like a big underdog, which is kind of crazy because I'm like, this is a gimme fight. I'm like, how do you not bet Almeida in that spot? But here we are. He's going against another heavy-handed striker in Choi. Granted, Choi doesn't have the diverse striking abilities as an Almeida, using, you know, kicks and knees and elbows and stuff like that. But Choi still has got power in his hands. And Trezano sometimes just fights in a lull. He just, you know, he'll fight on the outside, but he really won't throw a ton of volume, and he just gets stuck out there. And I feel like this is gonna be one of those fights where he's gonna be stuck on the outside, not throwing a ton of volume, and Choi just, you know, he's the one that's landing the harder shots. And I think Choi gets back on track here. I think Choi's losses are, I don't know, they're both have pretty bad losses in the last two, but ultimately, I'm taking Choi to get the job done. We got Thomas saying, well, I pick Arce, but as a French, I'm unable to bet on prelims and early prelims. Man, that sucks. What the hell? What's going on, France? Okay? You got to get with the times here, people. Adam Mail said, my first fight I seen a BT. can't get over him calling a BTS.
It's funny.
I was like, damn, he got hands. Later on, I'm like, damn, he's another level. And that's true. What's up, Marcus? Appreciate you joining us. Good luck this weekend. Yeah, good luck to you too. I know you bet just as much as we do, so good luck on those bets and parlays. All right, moving on. We got a fight in the women's strawweight division between Carolina Kovacevic and Silvana Gomez-Juarez. Can't believe she's got Gomez-Juarez. Anyways, it's basically a pick-em fight. Minus 110 across the board. Who do you got?
Fake tits collide in this fascinating strawweight matchup. I know Carolina is coming off an impressive win, but she is so goddamn timid. And that plays right into Silviana's style. Silviana is going to come in hot and heavy, looking for the knockout early and often. She does get subbed, but I think her heavy hands will be enough to keep Carolina at range and non-threatening. The Herrick win was what it was, but this time Carolina, whatever the hell her name is, her timid ass self, is fighting someone who is here to win. Herrick was there to get paid. Silviana is winning this fight by KO. Yeah, see, Marcus knows.
Yeah, right, Marcus. Marcus got it too. Silviana by TKO. I mean, it makes sense. And yes, you're right. Herrick was in there for a payday so that she could use that money to set up her OnlyFans account and, you know, get the nice camera going, get the whole setup.
She's been like that since day one. Like, yeah. I bet her to win just because I know how, like, timid Carolina is. Like, everyone's like, oh, she's back. She's back. Bro, she ain't back. She's just beating someone that doesn't give a shit.
Right. No, I completely agree there. My only thing is, like, do I really want to trust my hard-earned money betting on Silviana Gomez Juarez? Do I really? Not really.
I mean, it would make the fight more interesting, that's for sure.
You know what would make it more interesting? Doing something else while this fight is going on.
I don't know, bro. That's why they both got fake tits, so you would stay tuned in, man. Come on.
I mean, I guess. I'd rather go walk my dog, take a shit.
She's plus 300 KO. I think it's a good play.
At that price, taking her by KO at, you know, plus 300, I can understand that. But if you're playing the money line,
no way.
No, thank you. You know, minus 110, there's no value there. And like I said, is Juarez trustworthy of your money? Is Kovacevic trustworthy of your money? Absolutely not. I do think Juarez is a side here, though. She's younger. She's fresher. She packs more of a punch. She's coming off a win that kind of looked impressive. Kovacevic got taken down, and then she got an armbar. I believe that's how she got the win against Phyllis Herrick, who hasn't fought in, what, like a decade? Juarez is the side. I just can't go and bet my hard-earned money on either one of these two. But, yes, I got Juarez getting the dub, possibly via TKO. Or I would actually do a double prop, okay, as they say. I would do a KO decision prop where you get the best of both worlds and you get a little bit of plus money because I doubt she's going to want to take it to the mat and get a submission. So if you could take her by KO and decision, you're probably getting at least maybe plus 110, plus 120. I think it
double chance is what they call that in the betting world.
Yeah, Garrett. double chance. Sorry, you know, it's late in the day. I'm getting over this cold, so my head's not in it. All right, let's keep it moving. Our next fight up is in the lightweight division between Matt Frivola and Otman Azaitar. Right now, Azaitar minus 145. Come back on Frivola plus 125. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. You know, this is probably like the main event of the undercard. You know, when Frivola loses, he gets knocked out. And Azaitar does a lot of knocking out. If they stand and bang, which they will, I can't help but think that Azaitar wins. He's had a decent layoff, but the skills and heavy hands, you know, they're still there. I like Frivola as a person, and I think he's really funny, but he'll probably be experiencing daylight savings time all over again. Good night, sweet prince. Ottoman Azaitar by KO. Sorry, Frivola.
You just want to butcher Ottoman Azaitar's name as much as humanly possible, don't you?
Well, every time
he's Ottoman, like the furniture,
dude.
Azaitar over here.
I swear. Well, the karma worthy or karma fight sucked. But when I see his name, it looks like I'm supposed to say Ottoman. And every time I go to read it, I can't help but think about the character in Beauty and the Beast. That's like the living dog Ottoman or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I see that every time I say, who names their kid Ottman? Like, come on, like, I don't care if you're Muslim. Like, that's an odd name. Ottman's a weird name. Now, if it's a family name, that's a different thing. But Ottoman for life, bro.
Oh man, a lot of people are betting Ottman here. Like, money's been flooding in on him. and rightfully so, he's got majority of his wins by knockout. Both of his UFC wins have come by knockout, but against pretty god-awful competition.
Yeah.
Kama Worthy. And Timo Pakkalin, who's not, I don't know if he's fighting anymore. I'm pretty sure he's retired. He's coming off about a two-year layoff, especially from the smuggling case over in Abu Dhabi. But yes, I do think Ottman should be the right side here. But I feel like if you're going to bet him, you bet him by KO. I can't fathom him going to a decision and winning. If it goes to a decision, that means Rolla weather the early storm and he's wrestle fucking it. Okay. And then I feel if it gets out of round one, you live bet on Frivola. You're live betting Frivola after round one because I feel like we're going to get a massive cardio dump if Azaitar does not get that first round finish. So what I suggest is you're betting Azaitar by KO. And if it leaves round one, you can hedge yourself betting Frivola probably at plus money, even better than plus 125 because he's probably going to lose round one. So yeah, that's how I'm looking at this fight. I'm probably going to pass altogether, but that's how I kind of figured it is your best strategy if you're going to bet this fight. If you're betting Azaitar, bet him by KO because he's probably going to knock out Frivola and you're getting it at plus 120, plus 125. I think that's pretty damn good considering that's his only path to victory. Normally, if you get fighters that are only path to victory is a knockout, it's minus 115, minus 120. You're still getting plus money. So if you're betting Azaitar by KO, but yeah, I'm staying away from this fight.
I did think it was odd, like how, because he's one of the cheapest fighters on DraftKings.
Azaitar?
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely a must play, at his current price point on DraftKings for sure. Then.
Yeah, because I think he opened up at plus 130, plus 135 on most books.
And I'm telling you, money's been absolutely flooding in on him.
Hold on. I think I heard. Hold on. I think James Krause is calling me about this fight. yeah.
All right. Moving on. We got a fight in the middleweight division between Andre Petrosky and Wellington Turman. Right now, Petrosky minus 165. I mean, I'm sorry, minus 195. The comeback on Turman plus 165. What do you got?
You know, while Turman beats the guys he should beat, Petrosky ain't that guy. Petrosky definitely proved to the doubters, including myself, that he belongs here, man. Like, that last fight was wild, man. I could not believe it. The guy is skilled, and Turman isn't stopping him. He's not the guy that stops him anyway. I think Petrosky wrestles him early, does what he does. I'll probably take him inside the distance because while he is known for the submissions, Turman's chin is a little lackluster. So it's very possible that Petrosky does win by ground and pound as well. I'd like him inside the distance. I think it's like Marcus is saying in the chat, oddly enough, guaranteed money.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Petrosky, he definitely shut up the naysayers for sure. And me, especially. And he's just getting better, training with the guys and Hanzo Gracie in Philly. He's just getting better and better and better. And I'm expecting a good one here. I know Wellington Turman, I'm sorry. He looked good in his last fight against Misha Serk. Sorry, I'm trying to hold in my cough here against Misha Serkinov. But Serkinov is done. I mean, yeah, he's been done. He's done. And I know Turman's been getting in time over in Connecticut with Alex Bejeda and Glover Teixeira and all that crew. But I don't think that's enough to get it done against Petrosky, who I think is the better wrestler, better submission threat, better striker, more power. Yeah, give me Petrosky here. I like him inside the distance as well. I think it's plus 110, plus 105. I think he gets the job done. And I like him on DraftKings as well.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. Like, looking back, I feel like he's one of the underrated guys that came out of that season of The Ultimate Fighter. He's a good dude. He's interesting, and he definitely fights for, I mean, maybe not my money, but he's in there with a purpose, which is nice to see.
That is true. All right, moving on. That is true. Moving on. Our next fight. Our next fight up is in the flyweight division, women's flyweight division, between Erin Blanchfield and Molly McCann. Right now, Blanchfield's minus 390, which is the biggest favorite on the card. And the comeback on Meatball Molly McCann, plus 320. What do you got?
I am not a fan of Molly McCann and her recent rise to stardom or whatever it is. It's just really odd to me. She barely beats trash opponents. And sure, she had a pretty badass knockout a while ago. But what else has she done besides ride the coattails of Patty Pimblett? I'm glad that they matched her up against someone that should beat the living dog shit out of her. And I'm assuming Erin Blanchfield mops the floor with her. She'll probably be controlled the entire fight and most likely look like a tomato when this one was over. Look for Molly McCann to just be frustrated, because that's what she will be. And anytime she loses, she just looks like she's, what do I do? So I'm like an Erin Blanchfield by decision.
Yeah. Man, I can't fathom playing Blanchfield at that price, especially after how atrocious she looked against JJ Aldrich. I mean, that was pretty fucking bad how bad she looked in that fight. And she should have ran through JJ Aldrich. I mean, granted, she beat her via standing guillotine in the second round, but in that first round, she fucking lost that round.
Yeah.
You don't lose a round to JJ Aldrich and you're trying to go and fight for a title. That is terrible. Granted, Molly McCann, she's about JJ Aldrich in terms of skill. I do think she packs more of a punch than, you know, JJ Aldrich does. And I know McCann is definitely going to push the pace a little bit. I feel like she's going to be the aggressor. I think she's going to come forward a little bit. But where the problem lies is definitely in her grappling. She's going to get taken down. She's going to get controlled. It's going to be a very lackluster performance by Blanchfield, because she's not going to be able to, you know, impose her will on the feet. I think McCann's going to be able to hold her own. I think McCann's going to have some success early on the feet until Blanchfield goes in there, is able to take her down, rinse and repeat, just kind of wear on her. And then McCann's just going to start gradually slowing down as the fight progresses. So ultimately, I got Blanchfield winning a very lackluster, boring decision just by grinding her, Molly McCann out, and that's all she wrote. It's not a fight that I'm really looking forward to. Both women's fights, I'll probably be making a sandwich or making some food, doing something else than watching this fight.
I will watch this one just because I want to see Molly McCann disappointed.
Just hate her that much, don't you, man? That's my stuff.
She lost me money. Like, and I don't think she's good. So, and I don't understand this like huge rise to popularity. It's really weird.
We'll see. All right. And next fight up is in the light heavyweight division between Dominic Reyes, the return of Dominic Reyes, and the comeback. I mean, and Ryan Spann, sorry. Right now, the line is set at minus 215 for Reyes to come back on Spann, plus 185. Who do you got?
You know, while Reyes has faced good competition, he really hasn't been the same since John Jones. Also, I want to mention, or at least remember, that he barely got through Volkan as well. Barely got through him.
Yeah, but all that you've mentioned, plus the guys he's lost to, mm-hmm. aren't they absolutely levels above Ryan Spann?
they are. But I don't know. I'd like to see Ryan Spann versus Volkan.
I think he gets blasted.
Oh yeah, but it would be a better fight than this.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Spann. It's really now or never for him. And with this fight, I think if he has any shot at all, he's catching Reyes at the right time. I think that it is Spann's opportunity. This is a very opportunistic fight for him.
Opportunistic.
Yeah, these guys, you know, and while normally I would side with Reyes, Spann does have the reach advantage here. It is a small advantage, but it is ever so slight. Spann has a difficult time with well-rounded guys, but Reyes isn't really a submission threat either. If they stand and bang, it's anybody's fight. And I can't not take a stab at plus 450 with a questionable chin on the line. I am taking Ryan Spann by KO at plus 450, plus 460. I think Reyes is the clear better fighter here, but I'm going to take a little small stab on my Beaumont brethren here.
But you're just on the notion that Reyes' chin is just dust?
I'm on the notion that Spann is powerful. I'm on the notion that.
But who is he powerful against? Is my question to you. Who did he show power against?
I think he showed power against everybody, but I mean,
Misha Cirkunov and Sam and Misha Cirkunov's the only one. Misha Cirkunov's literally the only guy that he's knocked out in the last 3 years.
And then
before that, it was Antonio Rogério Nogueira.
That's a hell of a guy.
In 2019, those were his last two knockouts.
Yeah, I'm not saying, like, I know that I understand that, but what I'm also saying is that Reyes is not the same, and I think that it's like the perfect storm.
I get what you're saying. He may not be as, you know, the same when it comes to how he fought against John Jones, because I feel like that was such a demoralizing loss to him, because in retrospect, he won, and a lot of people thought he won. He thought he won. So, you know, he came into his next two fights really hanging his head, like, damn, woe's me. I didn't get the win. I should be champion. I feel like his mindset's a little bit better. He took enough time off. You're talking about a guy that's now, what, he took 19 months off? I mean, I'm sorry, 18 months off, a year and a half. Maybe to get things right, get his head right. He's now training with Alex Vejeda, Glover Teixeira, which he's getting in a ton of grappling in with him, and Wellington Turman. So I feel like we're going to see a lot better version of Reyes that we saw in his last two fights. But granted, the last two guys he fought were Jan Blachowicz and Jiří Prochazka. You're talking about the current champion and the former champion. He's only lost two champions in his last three fights, and now he's going against Ryan Superman Spann, who's a pretty massive step down in competition from his last three fights, even his last five fights. Chris Weidman, former champion, Volkan Ozdemir, former title challenger, and now we got Ryan Spann, whose chin I think is dust to begin with. I don't think he has the striking to really compete with Reyes on the feet, and he's going to have to come in there and get some takedowns and possibly get submission, which he possibly can do. I just don't think it's going to happen. And granted, we forget that Reyes did hurt Jiří Prochazka and knock him down in that first round. So, I got to side with Reyes here. I think he's going to show a better version of himself. I really am reluctant to play him at minus 210, coming off a year and a half layoff, coming off back-to-back-to-back losses. I don't like that, but I feel like he should get the job done.
Well, that's exactly what I'm, like, betting against, is that, like, I'm taking the stab in the other direction because of all of those things that are keeping me from betting Reyes. There's so
yeah, but
much
I mean, you can,
going against him.
At that point, you could just fade the fight altogether.
Yeah, but I'm not because that like plus 450 is I don't know. It just seems too juicy. And I know once the fight gets closer, it's probably going to be up in the plus 500, plus 510 range. And I really just think that this is Spann's last hurrah. If he doesn't get this fight, which it is very possible that he doesn't. And like my boy Marcus is saying in the chat, I don't think that Spann is a better fighter. I just think that at this moment where these two guys are meeting, I just think that it is a very interesting moment in both of these men's life. And
I just think you guys are overestimating whatever power you think Spann has, because he really does not knock out a fucking soul. Like, nobody that is remotely worthwhile. I mean, he couldn't knock out Emiliano. So, I mean, he subbed him, but he can't knock out Luis Hunt, Henrique, who he went to decision with. He couldn't knock out Devin Clark. He couldn't knock out Sam Alvey, who won a split decision against. Alvey, who was getting knocked out by everybody. He didn't knock out Johnny Walker, who was getting knocked out by everybody. He didn't knock out Anthony Smith. He didn't even touch Kutalaba. Kutalaba literally fell down going for a punch, and then he grabbed his neck. I mean,
Reyes also, you said he, what'd you say? Something about a soul. Well, good thing Reyes, he has a bruised soul.
He does.
And Span is going to take advantage of that, man. Like,
it's possible. It's definitely, no, I don't disagree there. I mean, Span is definitely dangerous on the feet. He's dangerous on the mat. I just feel Reyes is the better fighter, and I just don't want to see Span in the UFC anymore.
Well, you know, and here's another thing too, like, because I saw, like, well, I do want to mention the John Jones fight. That was the best Reyes' cardio has ever looked. Prior to that, a lot of the fights leading up to that, the dude would get very tired, because in the beginning of his UFC run, he would go all out in round one and round two, and then he would be drained in round three. So if I'm not saying that that is going to play a big role in this fight, but it is something that Span might take advantage of if this does go into deeper waters.
Are we taking the under 1.5 rounds here? Because, I mean, Ryan Span's been under in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of his last 7 fights have gone under 1.5 rounds, which is sitting at -110. Dominic Reyes, I believe, has gone over that mark in his last 3. But, yeah, you know, Span is a kill or be killed type of fighter. He's coming in there, he's looking for the kill, or he's getting knocked the fuck out. It's, you know, it's either which way. And I don't know, I kind of like that under there, because I feel both of them guys are going to come out heavy-handed and looking for a finish. So we'll see what happens. I can't take Reyes at -210, but definitely have to side with him here.
Well, and they both want that dominating, like, highlight finish, because they're both at these weird points in their career where they need to have a highlight finish ultimately.
Yeah, they have to do something, or no one's going to give a fuck about either one of them at this point. You know, all right, let's keep it moving. We're finally up to our featured bout on the prelims in the lightweight division between Hanato Moicano and Brad Riddell. Right now, the line is set at -120 on Moicano, the comeback on Riddell +100. Who do you got?
All right. So Riddell, you know, he has a very weird and rangy style. He's tough as nails too. You know, Moicano, you know, he's a tough out as well. But if Riddell can avoid the submission attempts from Moicano, I think he should edge out the second leg of the City Kickboxing Parlay. RDA, you know, he showed Riddell exactly what he needs to do. And if Riddell sticks to the game plan and doesn't get caught on the ground, the plus money should cash here. I like Riddell money line. I like Riddell decision. I like the over 2.5. I like fight starts round 3. I mean, there's a lot of plays here. I just ultimately like Riddell by decision.
Yeah. I'm definitely on Riddell here too. I'm another City Kickboxing. I feel he, you know, he's had some setbacks his last 2 fights, going against a monster in Jalen Turner, who's the tallest lightweight on the roster at 6'3", very tall, long, rangy, got some great power there. So no fault there. And then he loses to one of his former training partners in Rafael Fiziev. No fault there either. You know, and Riddell he's an elite striker. I know a lot of people don't believe that. I do. I think his technical abilities is right up there with some of the best at 155 pounds. He's, you know, he's able to mix it up with levels between the head to the body to the legs. He's got some good power. He's got good defense. And I just think he will run away with this fight on the feet if they get into a firefight. And I'm hoping he gets into a firefight, because Moicano has been knocked out numerous times, especially by someone he's already fought in Rafael Fiziev. And Riddell, he split time at Bang Tao over in Thailand, and then as well as over in New Zealand in City Kickboxing. So he's been getting a ton of good work over with, I think it was Frank Hickman in Bang Tao, who used to own Tiger Muay Thai. So he opened up his own gym called Bang Tao over in Thailand as well. So he's been getting in work there. A lot of good guys have been going over there. Volkanovski has been training over there, even Zhang Wei Li. A lot of good UFC fighters really got in some good work over at Bang Tao. So I'm expecting the best version of him coming into this matchup. He just needs to avoid getting stuck on his back and giving up his back. Because if you give your back up to Moicano, he's going to snatch your neck. As long as he does that, this fight stays on the feet, he's fucking up Moicano and probably ending him towards the end of the round, end of the fight.
Yeah, I'm excited for this fight.
Mark is saying, I don't trust Moicano's chin, but I trust his jiu-jitsu. I think he can finish Riddell if he doesn't get piece up first. Might as well take the sub prop then. If you think Moicano is going to go in there and get the sub, take the sub prop, because I think it's a little bit, it's probably juicy at this point. He's only minus 120. So the sub prop for him to get a finish, it's got to be good enough that you'd want to take a stab. I mean, let's see, Moicano to win via submission, plus 240 all the way up to plus 280 at some spots. That's definitely the way to go if you want to bet Moicano there for sure. Riddell by KO is plus 275 all the way up to plus 350. Riddell via decision, plus 275, all the way up to plus 300. That's good as well. And then we have Thomas talking about Amon Riddell too, especially knowing his background in kickboxing. Yes, I do agree there. And I feel like they've been game planning. These guys, you know, they've had some lump. They've been taking some hits as of late, you know, City Kickboxing. We had a couple of those guys taking losses, but I feel like they bounced back. They've come together as a team, and I feel like they're going to win as a team this Saturday night as well. All right, we're coming up to our first fight up on the main card. We have a fight in the lightweight division between Dan Hooker, another CKB product, taking on Claudio Puelles. Right now, Hooker minus 145. Come back on Puelles plus 125. What do you get?
Yeah, kind of the same song and dance as the last fight, honestly. You know, if Hooker can avoid the submission attempts from Claudio, I think he should edge out the third leg of the City Kickboxing parlay. Claudio has been knocked out, and then Hooker has the height and reach advantage. So as long as he sticks to the game plan and doesn't get subbed, Hooker should get his hand raised. Despite being the favorite, though, if anybody ruins the parlay, it'll be Hooker. So bet responsibly. I like Dan Hooker by KO, but I am a little anxious about it. So keep that in mind.
You know, I'm not so anxious, you know, taking Hooker here. I think he's got, you know, I feel like he's one of the more trustworthy fighters on the parlay because of who he's fought, who he's beaten, who he's lost to. He's only lost to title challengers or champions. Other than Arnold Allen, who's going to be a title challenger or possible champion. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, like, and who the hell has dominated Hooker on the mat other than Islam Makhachev?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
Not a fucking soul. There's not one person at 155 that has dominated. I'm talking about dominated Dan Hooker on the mat. Islam's the only one. And he took that fight on short notice, and he didn't have a training camp, and he didn't have anyone in his corner. So I can't fathom where people are just going and just thinking Dan Hooker's done. Why do we think he's done? His losses are to Arnold Allen on short notice in another country. Islam Makhachev during the pandemic where everything was shut down over in New Zealand with no training, no training partners. He was stuck in the States. I mean, what the fuck? And then he goes and beats Nasrat Haqparast, who's kind of on the same level as Claudio Puelles. And then, yes, he lost to Michael Chandler, who would beat the dog shit and drag Claudio Puelles up and down the fight. And then he went into war with Dustin Poirier and arguably kind of possibly won that fight.
Yeah, I thought he won that fight. That was a great fight.
So, and, you know, he has to fall immensely off for him to lose to Claudio Puelles. Who the fuck has Puelles beaten? Clay Guida in 2022? And then now you're going to give him a guy and Dan Hooker, who was a perennial top five, top 10 fighter for the last 3 years. And we're going to, and everybody's running to the sports book and slamming him at plus money. How does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. The dude has to be completely done. We're talking this dude has to retire if he loses to Claudio Puelles. Point blank. Because Puelles is not beating the guys that Hooker has just fought. I would even go and take Nasrat Haqparast over Claudio Puelles. So he would not be Paul Felder back then when they fought. He would not be Dustin Poirier. He would not be Michael Chandler. He would not be Islam Makhachev. He would not be Arnold Allen. I mean, and then you're talking about a guy who had to lay on Jordan Levitt for 15 minutes to win a decision in which he lost a round to Jordan Levitt. So everybody's quick to just write off Dan Hooker. It's just absolutely mind-boggling that people are saying Claudio Puelles is a lock.
People are telling me
they're telling me that Claudio fucking Puelles is a lock against Dan Hooker, the same guy that went to a decision Puelles is a lock because he went to a decision with Jordan Levitt. He went to a decision with Marcos Mariano. I mean, come on. And yes, the guy's got a bunch of knee bars, right? He got knocked the fuck out by Martin Bravo. Let's not forget that. He got knocked the fuck out by Martin Bravo. This guy's got a ton of knee bar submissions. I get it. But last time someone tried to knee bar Dan Hooker, he beat the fucking shit out of him. He elbowed him to the point where he TKO'd him off his back, defending the knee bar. So please try to go for a knee bar and then get punched in the face and get TKO'd. Give me Dan Hooker here. Everybody can run to the bank, bet on an underdog. You never want to bet on a public dog. I try telling you this. On Charles Oliveira, you don't bet a public dog. Yeah, because the sports books don't want you to bet that.
That should be your shirt. Like Garrett Kerman, don't bet the public dog. Like seriously, I would buy that.
I don't know if I put my name on there, but don't pet the public dog. You just don't do it. I mean, could he go in there and surprise the fuck out of me? Sure. He probably could. But at the end of it,
don't bet the public dog. Don't bang the town hooker. Same premise there.
But, yeah. Man, I just feel like Puelles has to show me something. Look at his wins. Felipe Silva, not in the UFC. Marcos Mariano, not in the UFC. Jordan Levitt, probably going to be cut soon. Chris Grissmacher, I'm pretty sure he's not in the UFC anymore. Clay Guida, I'm pretty sure he's going to retire after his next fight. Yeah. And now you got Dan Hooker. All right. Let's keep it moving. I know I talked.
So who did you pick? I'm just kidding.
I have no idea. Anyone underestimating Hooker saying he's done is a fool. That being said, well, that's by knee bar.
I laughed. I read that and I was like, that's pretty damn funny. I mean, it's possible, but I mean, I did go back and forth on that fight, but then like I eventually settled on Hooker. I think the line is right.
Yeah. I think the line is beautiful. I mean, I think he should be, I think it should be a heavier favorite. There's nothing that tells me that Puelles is, they're pretty much saying
next fight.
Yeah. I just want to say this lastly before I go. Plus 125, they're pretty much saying Puelles is a lock to get basically a knee bar finish. And that I can't think that's true. But let's keep it moving. All right, next fight up, we got a fight in the bantamweight division between Frankie Edgar, the Answer Edgar, his last hurrah in Madison Square Garden, taking on Chris El Guapo Gutierrez. Right now, the line is Gutierrez -230, comeback at Edgar +195. What do you got?
Yeah. Did you watch the presser?
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell who was more annoyed by the other at the presser. Gutierrez looked a little shaken at first, but then, I don't know, the more that they like interacted, the more he just seemed to get pissed off or annoyed by Edgar. And then you have Edgar over here talking about the after party already and like, you know, being done at 11 p.m. This one seems pretty obvious to me. Edgar is past his prime. And while Gutierrez, it is a winnable fight for Edgar. I just see him going out on his shield here. Look for Gutierrez to kick Edgar's old legs off. I like Gutierrez quickly, and I like him by KO. I feel like it's easy money. Gutierrez KO. Legs gonna fall off.
Yeah, bro. I'm definitely confident in, you know, Gutierrez, and it sucks because, you know, I've watched Edgar throughout his entire career when I was younger. Been a huge fan of his, especially because I'm from New Jersey. But before I get into it, didn't you get like some Joe Pesci vibes from Frankie Edgar? I mean, that man looked like Joe Pesci at the presser.
Like, he has that, like, little circle face. Like,
yeah, and the shaved head that he's got, yeah, and everything. I'm like, damn, what's Joe Pesci doing out there?
Maybe that's what happens, I guess, when you're like a Yank. You know, you hang out in the streets, your head gets smaller. It looks like a Goomba.
Yeah, but man, like Gutierrez, I've been riding his coattails as of late. He came in and he dominated in his last fight. I was very big on him there, and he came in and got a nasty knockout. It was a spinning back fist. It was a thing of beauty. He's surging at the right time, and this is the big name that he needs to catapult himself in the top 15 and really, you know, make a name for himself. You know, I expect literally just about 3 calf kicks until Frankie Edgar is absolutely limping and can't do anything else. I mean, yeah. Gutierrez has the nastiest calf kicks in the entire bantamweight division, if not maybe the entire UFC.
Yeah, he kind of changed the game, really. I mean, he kind of put that on the map, really, the KO by leg kick.
Yeah, and he's one of the few that has multiple. I mean, the dude is nasty. And then I don't think Frankie Edgar is ready at his age right now, at the tail end of his career, to take calf kick damage that he's about to endure. And then when you take all that damage on your lead leg that you really need to wrestle, his biggest attribute is pretty much done out the door. So yeah, I got Gutierrez going in there and ending Frankie Edgar in his last fight. It sucks. It really does suck because I'm hoping for the best for him, but he's going out, like you said, going out on the shield.
Yeah.
We got Marcus saying he's got Gutierrez by leg kick, TKO or KO. They feed these legends to these young killers. So sad. I mean, it is. I agree. And Thomas is asking, do you believe it's the safest bet on the main card? I'm still searching for a good one on the main card. I think so. If we're calling about safest, I want to say it's safe because Frankie Edgar did do well against Cheeto. You know, I think he was up 2 rounds on him utilizing his wrestling. But the thing is, Cheeto is a guy that's always a slow starter. He's always going to lose at least round 1, possibly even round 2. And then he comes back and beats the dog shit out of you in rounds 3, 4, and 5. But Gutierrez is not a slow starter. He's going to come out there. He's going to come. He's going to press forward. He's going to utilize his leg kicks to stay out of range, stay out of him being able to just come in and, just bum rush. So I think Gutierrez is kind of the safer bet. Yeah.
I like him and Wei Li and Hooker. Like, you could do a triple header.
Well, yeah, if we're talking about, like, if you don't really don't care about odds, Zhang, Zhang is definitely the lock on the main card for sure. Because she's gonna, we'll get into that in a second. Anyways.
Yeah, we'll get there. But yeah, those are like, I think Zhang and Gutierrez is a pretty fun play.
Yeah, that's my favorite double up for sure. Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch, but on the main card, yeah, I feel like that's as safe as you can get in all reality.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the featured bout on the main card. We have a fight in the lightweight division between Dustin the Diamond Poirier and Michael Chandler. Right now, Poirier -215, the comeback on Chandler +185. Who do you got?
Yeah, it's crazy to see this fight even being a reality. You know, like, this is like a dream match.
Yeah.
I feel like Poirier is the more well-rounded version of Justin Gaethje. Like, he's a good Justin Gaethje, or maybe just the smarter version. Chandler losing to Gaethje the way he did is going to affect anybody. I don't care who you are. That's going to take some time off of your life and off of your career. And perhaps maybe I have a soft spot for Poirier because I've met him and he's a really nice guy. And he signed my UFC video game and signed it right over top of McGregor's face. Maybe I don't. But I can't imagine him losing this. He's pretty much better than Chandler everywhere, maybe excluding the wrestling. And they hit the nail on the head with this one. This is the people's main event, because this is definitely the fight I'm looking forward to the most. I've seen Izzy live. He's not really all that fun to watch. I like Dustin Poirier by KO. I think he does what Gaethje couldn't do and finishes this young man.
I'm so reluctant to pay a premium on Poirier -215, knowing that Poirier hasn't fought a 3-round fight in God knows how long.
Yeah.
Very, very long time. So you know right off the bat, Poirier is most likely dumping round one. Chandler's gonna come a bat out of hell. And he's probably gonna mix in some takedowns. He's gonna utilize his speed. He definitely has a speed, he definitely has a power advantage. So I'm really expecting Chandler to take that first round. And then is where I would take a live bet on Dustin Poirier. I think you're going to get him maybe -140, maybe even plus money. You're going to cut out a lot of the juice after round one, unless Poirier goes and smokes him round one, which I kind of don't expect that to do. I feel like he's going to want to play it a little bit safe, let Chandler come to him, let him blow his wad just like he normally does. So, if you're playing Poirier, I feel like the best bet is just wait a little bit. And then take him after round one, because I feel like he should be able to take over rounds two and three as long as he's able to weather the early storm with Chandler. Because, like I said, Chandler is coming. He's coming fast. And I don't think Poirier is ready for it. I know he'll say he's ready for it, but this is a sprint. This is only 15 minutes. You only got 15 minutes. You got to sprint. And I don't expect Poirier to sprint in that first round. I feel like he's going to sprint in rounds two and three. So I would just kind of play it safe a little bit. And play Poirier, maybe like a one unit on him after round one. We got Thomas saying, for real dream matchup, my pick is Poirier, but my heart is on Chandler. Marcus is saying, Chandler, inside the distance for me, but I'm staying away from this fight, though. It makes sense. I mean, I think the fight's a lot closer than the line suggests, but ultimately, I do think Poirier is the side. I think he's a better fighter. And the only time I would be able to play Chandler, if he creeps up to plus 200. If he gets to the plus 200 range, I think he's worth the stab there.
I do like the idea of just staying away from it, because it is such a it's one of those fights that comes together and you're just like, oh my God, like I never thought it would actually happen. And then like by not placing a bet on it, you can kind of enjoy it that much more. It's not really tainted by a win or a loss.
Yeah, this is a fight where you don't need money on it, because you're going to enjoy the fuck out of this fight. I think you're going to enjoy it better not having money on it, because you're going to be pissed if either one of them loses for your money, because this fight is going to be that good.
Yeah.
All right, we're up to our co-main event for the Women's Strawweight Championship of the World. We have Carla Esparza looking to defend her title against Zhang Weili. Right now, the line is Weili minus 330 to come back on Esparza plus 275. What do you got?
Yeah, obviously, we cashed on Carla last go, and I am the biggest Carla Esparza mark, and there is nothing more I love than seeing that belt around her waist. But there is no way she beats Weili here. Weili can do it all, and she's strong. Carla isn't a KO threat, and I know she can wrestle. But Weili should be able to recover and eventually find the finish. While it has been a fun time with Carla as the champ, Weili wants the belt. She's hungry. I'm just not sure. No one's going to beat her for a very long time, especially the little boy and her predator husband. They are not getting the belt back. I like Weili. I like her having the belt, and it'll be that way for a good while.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Weili, she's on a mission right now. She wants her belt back. She's looking in phenomenal shape. she's been
her, getting... her mind seems like she's like focused more or
it's
something.
It's because of where she's been training. I mean, like I said, she was training some of her time over in Bangtao and more in Thailand, and then majority of her time is spent over here in Phoenix, Arizona at Fight Ready with Henry Cejudo. John Jones was there, Calvin Gastelum, Mark Mattson. I mean, the list goes on. I think she's going to be the absolute best version of herself. I'm expecting her to defend the takedowns and absolutely hammer Esparza on the feet. I don't expect Esparza to have any ounce of a chance in the stand-up, and she's going to have to live and die by those takedowns. She might get some takedowns, get some control time, but she couldn't even do that against Rose. Rose doesn't have great takedown defense, and Wei Li's probably just going to punish her, get her out of there inside two rounds. It sucks because I kind of like Esparza, and I think, you know, she fought her ass off to get back to where she was and recapture the title after having be the first ever, you know, strawweight champion. So, you know, kudos to her, but man, this is such a terrible matchup, and it sucks, but it is what it is. Zhang Weili gets it done. She's going to look phenomenal. She's going to go in there and show why she's the best at 115 pounds. And I don't think anybody can fuck with her after this.
Yeah. Marcus, like I have to comment on that, man. It kind of annoyed me. You know, I joke about, you know, fighters and like, you know, I say things that are, you know, most people would assume are kind of racist or just stupid.
Just a little bit.
But, you know, it's all fun and games, man. Honestly, I don't mean any of those things. I don't hate or dislike any of these guys or ladies. And, you know, as a fan or someone that does tune into this stuff every week, it's disheartening to see someone booed, you know, that has...
In your own country, no less.
In your own country, with the belt. Like, it's just, I mean, these are not real fans, man. It's the same people that boo whenever someone's, you know, on top looking for, you know, a submission. And it's, I hate it. You know, as a fan of these people, both in the octagon and outside of the octagon, it's just not okay.
Well, I mean... That's MMA fans for you. We have some of the absolute worst fan base in all of sports. It's just the way it is, unfortunately. We do. We have some terrible people out there. They're messaging these fighters. They're talking all this shit. I mean, and mind you, these guys are putting their lives on the line for our entertainment, and we're giving them all this shit, which is just, yeah. It's just a little ridiculous. But
well, even when I go to the live shows, man, and like I'm sitting by fans, you'd be flabbergasted by some of the stuff that comes out of these people's mouths. Like I think that myself, you know, I'm educated in a sense, but there's so much that I don't know, and then I just listen to these people talk, and it's just like, it is wild, bro. Like, it is these people are so dumb.
Like, yo, I'm gonna have to deal with that, because I'm definitely going to UFC Orlando. So I'm going to have to endure all that, because I've never been to a live UFC event yet. So I'm looking forward to that and not looking forward to it at the same time.
Yeah. You'll quickly realize that no one knows shit, and they think they do. And they're explaining to all of their friends, you know, what is happening. And yep. It's the most ludicrous thing.
I'm going to be rolling my eyes for probably 8 hours. It's going to give me a headache at some point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's horrible.
We got Thomas saying, for sure, reminds me of Kane JDS and the public booing JDS at the end. It's such a shame. I agree, man. I don't think anybody deserves booing, especially if you're a champion. I mean, you fought your ass off to capture the belt, and you're hated by everybody because you put on a lackluster performance. It's not her fault. She got in there. She won the fight. She won the belt. Why are you booing her? She did her job.
Yep. Well, and it's weird too, because I mean, you could argue with the Kane and JDS stuff, there's like some animosity between those guys. There's no issue between Esparza and Wei Li. Like,
no, none at all. Zero.
I don't know, bro. It's like y'all want to make this personal for no reason. It's very odd.
We got Haley saying, remember when Izzy said Yoel is going to crumble like the Twin Towers? Like, what the fuck? That's true. That was some fucked up shit. That was fucked up. What the fuck, Izzy? I forgot about that. Hey, mind you, he's back in the garden, too, no less.
Yeah, he does say some questionable things. You know, I think Frozen like Elsa is still beat to that. The Twin Towers is bad, but Frozen like Elsa is just stupid.
And then you see Alex Pajeda going in and taking pictures for Elsa in Times Square. I got to give it to him. Prayer is funny. And, you know, he's just bringing a different vibe to it. He's bringing Paulo Costa vibe, like, you know, like Izzy was saying. But we're going to get into that right now, actually. We're up to our main event, Middleweight Championship on tap. We got the trilogy fight, not in MMA, but a trilogy fight between these two. Israel Adesanya is looking to defend his title yet again. And this is like, what, his sixth or seventh title defense to take on a familiar foe in Alex Pajeda. Right now, the line is set at -205 for Adesanya to come back on Pajeda. +175. Who do you got?
I'm having a hard time thinking this goes the distance. But then again, it is Izzy. I like him to win here, as I'm hoping he learned a thing or two from fighting Jan. But it is very possible that Alex starches him too. The big thing for me is defense. And outside of the step up, Izzy rarely gets hit. And at this point, it's safe to say he's back on the roids. So that should also help him in this fight. Pereira, he didn't look amazing against Bruno Silva. I mean, he won, but Silva had his moments. And against Izzy, I doubt Silva would even connect. I don't know. I'm just having a hard time thinking Izzy gets beat. It'd be cool if we had a good fight, I guess. But even a close fight is a win for me, because I don't want this to be a one and done. I'm siding with Izzy. He wins. Let's hope he had enough time though to come up with something better than Frozen like Elsa. I think Izzy does win by decision. You're muted.
Yes. Obviously, you know where I lie. I am lying with Israel Adesanya. Got him early in the week around -180, -190. Now he's all the way up to -220 at some spots. I mean, I know people are talking about you can't really go back and look at his kickboxing fights with Pajeda because they're, you know, larger gloves, but it's essentially what you're gonna get is a very similar fight there. Yes, the little gloves is gonna make a huge difference because more power for Pajeda and less defense for Adesanya, but Adesanya is not a guy that's defending with hands up. He's defending with hands down and movement, head movement. That's how he's defending. And he went the distance with him in the first fight. He fucked him up in the second fight, blew his wad, something he doesn't normally ever do. And, you know, he got caught. It is what it is. But he was winning that fight too. It was a standing eight count in that fight. He almost finished him. So you're talking about, and then he got robbed in the first fight. The first fight wasn't even close. He absolutely won every moment of that fight. Pereira had his moments, but he was going too heavy on his punches. He was swinging and missing a lot. He connected with that deadly left hook, didn't make a dent in that first fight. So I kind of expect the same here. I feel Adesanya knows what he brings to the table. Pereira is the same exact fighter. He has not changed at all since their fights. He's always the same. He's always looking for that left hook. He throws the same type of combinations. He's the same fighter. And let's be honest, if Adesanya was not the champion, Pajeda would probably be not even in the top 15. He wouldn't be. He didn't have to go through the murderous row of fighters like Adesanya did. He went in, come on, Robert Whittaker twice, Yoel Romero, Paulo Costa, Marvin Vettori, even lesser guys like
Vettori twice too.
Yeah, Vettori twice. I mean, come on, he went through the murderous road, the who's who in 185. Pajeda beat Sean Strickland. That's it. That's literally it. Bruno Silva, he went the distance with GM3, knocked fucking Bruno Silva out. And then you have Pereira going the distance with him? How does that make sense? You know what I mean? I mean, it is what it is. It's MMA. Anything can happen. Anybody gets pushed. But I feel Pereira's got 10 minutes to get this job done. And can he get it done? Absolutely. He absolutely can get it done. He's got the power. He's fought him before. He knows some of his tendencies. I do think Adesanya is going to be he's going to be much better defensively, better technically as well on the feet. I don't think he's going to get caught like he did in that second fight. And I feel like he just kind of schools him as the fight goes on. Pereira has not been pushed for 25 minutes. He was gassing out in round three against Silva. Granted, he had to defend some takedowns, and I get that. But the crazy part to me here, I think Pereira's going to he's gonna jump for some takedowns here. I feel like he's going to go in and try to take the fight to the mat. I mean, you don't train with Glover Teixeira and not have that little wrinkle into your game, not try to add it into the game to keep the fight a little bit honest. But let's be honest, Adesanya will be able to get back up. Adesanya will not be stuck on the mat underneath Pereira if he hasn't been stuck on the mat against legit wrestlers, grapplers, jiu-jitsu practitioners. Ultimately, I get Izzy getting it done, getting another win under his belt, keeping it moving. I don't know who's going to fight after this, but I think this is the most intriguing fight because of the history, because of how powerful Pereira is and how skilled he is on the feet. He's going to be the one that's going to be pressing forward. He's the one that's not going to – he's going to throw caution to the winds, something that these fighters don't do because they don't have the technical abilities like Pereira does. So it's going to be a much different fight. It's going to be a much more dangerous fight for Izzy, but ultimately he's going to show why there's fucking levels to this shit and gets the job done.
See, I'm hoping that he has a decent showing because I would like to see this happen again. I don't really think there's any competition outside of Whitaker for Izzy. And
unless Khamzat gets a couple wins, big wins, and he wants to fight at 185.
Didn't he retire again?
Khamzat? No.
Yeah, I thought I read that he retired again.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. But
I must have heard something from Glory Hole MMA.
they leak a lot of shit out of there, apparently.
Yep.
Literally in and out of that hole. Anyways, guys, before we let you go, please head over to PrizePicks.com. Sign up now. Use promo code PROPSLIVE for 100% deposit up to $100. Guys, it's so much fun. Keeps this fight card interesting. It's just more or less than on a certain prop, whether it's takedowns, fight time, fantasy scores, significant strikes. It's super easy. Head over there. Use promo code PROPSLIVE for 100% deposit up to $100. And guys, go to Playmaker on all social platforms. Give them a follow for more content, more betting analysis, not just on fights, but across all sports. I'll be live every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Playmaker Betting Twitter channel as well as the Facebook channel. We're giving out bets there. We're here every week giving you money into your pockets, and we will see you guys next week. Appreciate everybody tuning in as well. We will see you then. Please come back. We love you guys. We love talking to you. We love conversating, and we'll see you guys next week. Adios.
I'll see you guys at Glory Hole MMA. I had to get